peacefulness deep within my heart abides. Since the day that Jesus took my sins away, and now to heaven I will go, to spend the endless ages while they ever
praising His name for the glorious day that He saved my soul. I remember the day.
And turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 19. Wasn't that a good quartet? He's singing Southern style. I felt a little breeze blowing from Dixie right there, praise God. And I appreciate that. And Brother Mike, isn't he something? I like the way he says it too. Not just what he says, but man, what about that, their sweaters dressed like, you know, Mr. Rogers. Man, I tell you, that's going to be used by me quite often, praise the Lord. And I'll tell them the Lord gave it to me. Somebody say amen. It's 8:28, and I'd like to speak about 15 minutes tonight. I never have done it, but I've always wanted to. And, I don't want to preach too long. I want to help you. And I do believe we can be entertained, and that's not bad. The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Some of y'all look like you need about 3 cc's of it tonight just to kind of get through the day. But I think entertainment's good, right kind. And it can change our mood, help us a little. But we're living in perilous times. And we're living in crucial times. I believe the sun is setting on the age of grace. And the opportunities that we have to make a difference are limited. And even our lives are vapors. I mean, I'm concerned about that. I'm glad that, you know, you go to coughing. I thought about the bass singer's boy coughing a while ago. I hope his test comes back negative. Somebody say amen. Or we're all doomed, praise God. Man, he sounded like he'd been smoking Camel with no filter, amen. My wife started using filters. She don't cough near as bad as she did. But praise God, man. But aren't you glad that we have this privilege? We could have been born in the Old Testament days, the days of the patriarchs. And man, I'd have been hoping they got that atonement every year. Somebody said amen. Don't get nervous. Amen. We could have been born in some other time. But we've been born in this age of grace, this church age. And I believe just very soon, the trump of God's going to sound.
Amen.
And I'm not just saying that because I've been taught that. I'm convinced of that. It's become personal to me that the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ has never been more clear in my mind than today. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. But man, I'm thinking he is coming. And I'm looking for him. For them that look for him the second time shall he appear. And I hope you're looking for him. And we're living in days of darkness, days of depression, days of despondency, days of despair. I mean, man, we're living in some bad times. But we don't have to be bad with them.
Amen.
I believe God's always had, and he always will have a remnant. And I want to be part of that remnant these last days. I don't want to ever say that I wouldn't do. Daniel purposed in his heart, I want to say by the grace of God, I won't. I see men that I've patterned after and followed after through the years who dipped their colors and changed their position. And I mean, it hurts my heart. You know, these liberals think they're the only ones that can be offended. It offends me to see compromise.
Yes. Yes.
It offends me to see apology for truth.
Right.
And excuses. And I want to stand. I like the theme of the meeting. I want to stand. Having done all to stand there for it. I want to do all I can to stand. Take your Bibles, chapter 19. I'm going to begin reading in verse 25. It's an account of the crucifixion of our Savior. And if you want to stand with me, because I'm really not going to preach over, you know. You heard about that one little boy sitting by his mama, and preacher preached and preached and preached. And she said, what comes after him? She said, man, Tuesday morning comes after him. And I don't want it to be like one little one preacher's preaching, and he got carried away, got to feeling good, and he got to preaching. And man, he'd preach a little while, and 30 minutes went by, 45 minutes, about an hour went by. He's still raring back. And the lady in the back said, preach on, Pharaoh. And he didn't quite understand her, and he kept on preaching. She said, preach on, Pharaoh. He didn't hear her clear, so it was a distraction to him, so he started preaching the other side of the building. And he preached another 15 minutes. When he got through, he was in the back, as tradition is, shaking hands with those that were exiting the building. And that visitor lady came by. And he said, ma'am, said, I noticed while I was preaching, you were saying something and I didn't quite understand. She said, I said, preach on Pharaoh. And he said, well, I'm not Pharaoh. She said, oh, yes, you are, because you won't let God's people go, praise God. And, amen. Well, I may be Pharaoh before this is over tonight. Page 1142 in the old Schofield reference edition of the Bible. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Our Heavenly Father, I need your touch tonight. And we've already heard the message, I believe, really the message for the hour, the message for the night. And I thank you for God's man who was willing to preach what thus saith the Lord, whether received or rejected, whether harbored or our Lord, hardened hearts. I praise you for men of God who still stand. And I pray now for these next few minutes, you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost, and you know my body's weak, my mind's tired. And I pray that right now you'd supernaturally, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, empower me. And I pray, God, tonight I'd say everything that I ought to say, not to be hesitant to declare truth. But then I pray for wisdom and discernment beyond my years, that you'd guard my mouth not to say anything that wouldn't glorify our Savior, exhort saints to serve you, expose sin. And I pray tonight when we leave these walls that each person from the youngest in this building, you said in your scripture even that they brought infants unto you. There in the account in Mark. And I pray tonight even the youngest listener could be affected, even their subconscious, by what they hear. And let us have an impact on what's left of the church age. And long live old time religion till you come again, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. More the theme, to stand. We're living in days of compromise. We're living in days of apostasy. We're living in days of inconsistency. I believe that one of the biggest eyesores among the ranks of Bible-believing people, I call myself a Bible-believing Baptist. Somebody say amen. And I'm seeing such inconsistency in light of an empty tomb, in light of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, he ends up that whole chapter in verse 58, and he said, "Now therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding," not just sometimes, but even in the dark hours of the Laodicean church, "always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Be steadfast. Be consistent. One of the great attributes of our Savior was His immutability. Jesus Christ the same. I believe in absolutes. I don't believe in suggestions of Scripture. I believe they're absolute. Rightly divided, this word is right, always has been right, and always will be right. It's not a day of suggestions or ideologies. This is the truth. Preachers ought to be careful when they're preaching and say, "Well, the idea in this passage." Ain't no ideas in this passage. These are dictated truths. Amen. We don't think like that. We're preaching the truth. We're forth-telling. We got the gift of prophecy. We're prophets to forth-tell truth. Amen. And so we're here in a dark hour. I've never seen such apostasy. I've never seen such apathy, such inconsistency. And we ought to stand. I've heard it said, and you have too, that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. And I like the wording of this passage. The Bible said in verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus." Thank God for Calvary.
Amen.
Thank God for Golgotha. Thank
Amen.
God for the place of the skull. Thank God for that Mount Moriah, amen, where Jesus Christ died for our sins, amen. Thank God for the sacrifice that was made. I don't want to get, by the way, some of y'all look like you got over being saved. Let me just stop and say right here, it was a good day when I got passed from death unto life. And when I got regenerated, and when I got born from above and resurrected from the dead spiritually, engaged to be married to Jesus, and grafted in like a wild olive branch, baptized in the body by the Holy Ghost, hey, that's a good day in my life. I don't want to get past that. When I think about, when I sing songs about the old rugged cross, I believe that that's the anthem for the church. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And man, I'll cherish that old rugged cross. But if you notice, the crowd's kind of thinned down here. Now they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. That was expected. Amen. And his mother's sister. And this other disciple. You notice John identifies himself in the third person. And he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. You understand, this is not his idea. This is what the Holy Ghost told him to pen. He didn't just come up with a pet name for himself. "Now, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved." Now, he likes all the others, but he loves me. No, he loved them all, but John had so earned that title by the way he served, by the way he lived, by the way he sacrificed, by the way he stood and where he stood, that he, by the Holy Ghost dictation, says, "Man, when you get to you, John, say that other disciple, the one whom Jesus loves." So John identifies himself and he's standing. And I want to preach a little while how we can stand by the cross in the dark hour of the Laodicean church. How can we stand? Well, first of all, I want you to notice in the text that when he stood, there was a public identification. You can't have it both ways. Either you're going to be identified with Christ and the cross, old time religion, amen, fundamental truths, or you're going to be identified as a compromiser. As a liberal, as a moderate. James said that a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. And what we're seeing in this hour is those trying to stand next to the cross, but they're standing at a distance. I mean, when Elijah was passing through the land, and Elisha, those sons of the prophets, the Bible said that they viewed afar off. Well, we got a lot of in our circle. You know, they used to be among our ranks, but the obelisk was not of us. Or they never went out from us, amen. But they identified at one time, but wait a minute, when the heat got on, and when it became unpopular and unpleasant, and let me say that serving the Lord Jesus Christ and living a separated life, I said separated. That's as much a Bible doctrine as a bodily resurrection is. Hey, separation, holiness, ecclesiastical boundaries. Hey, living that kind of life, practicing that kind of Christianity has never been received by the brethren. That's always put us in obscurity. That's always put a distance between us and them. The Bible said, come out from among them. Happy you separate, thus saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you. And I'll be a father unto you. And you'll be sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. That's Bible, friend. You can't have it both ways. Be not unequally yoked together with unbeliever. Obviously, I think the bonds of marriage, that's true. The bonds of business, that's true. But God help us, that's in the day of apostasy. That's in the day of darkness. Timothy said, hey, from such turn away. That crowd that has a form of godliness, and their form may even be shaped like ours, but they deny the power. Oh, we believe in the Bible. Oh, we believe in a bodily resurrection, but they don't deny the power of God to change anybody. Amen. What our doctrine will do, it'll change you.
Amen.
That's what it said. All scripture and penetration of God is for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He stood by the cross. And I believe as we stand today, we must publicly identify.
Amen.
Bible records in an earlier passage in this same gospel, that when those enemies of Christ, when the government began to oppose Christianity, oppose that New Testament who's soon to be offered for our sacrifice, you know what they did? Said they all forsook him. And they fled. But there stood by the cross his mother. And there stood by the cross his aunt. There stood by the cross Mary Magdalene. There stood by the cross that other disciple. What's happening? I believe they were publicly identifying. Hey, listen, I don't want to be an undercover Bible believer. I mean, I remember the days of the Jesus First lapel pins that Dr. Falwell put out. And man, I was proud to wear mine where people could see it. Amen. I don't wear an American flag underneath my coat. If I wear it, I'm going to wear it where people can see it. Amen. I don't fly it upside down either. Somebody say amen. Is everybody listening to me? Hey, I didn't hide my... We have so many Christians undercover Christianity. I mean, undercover fundamentalist. Well, I believe the Bible and everything, but I'm not a fanatic. Somebody said, are you a militant Bible? I didn't know there was any other kind. Somebody help me. I thought we were in a warfare. You'd put on the whole armor of God. Amen. You put on a helmet of salvation, not some kind of a shower cap. Somebody help me now. Or a sock hat. Amen. Hey, we're to put on a helmet of salvation. Hey, it's a battle going on out there. It's a warfare. You're going to have to identify publicly whose side are you on.
Amen.
You can't have it both ways. They wanted to polish the tombs of the prophets. Oh, we love old Moses. But they wouldn't have liked what he stood for. I'm saying to you, he publicly identified. Notice, first of all, our identification is always going to be marked by our association. Oh, yeah, who you like on Facebook. And some of y'all even like that bunch of recovering talk. You like the liberals because they're so nice. I've never known a liberal who wasn't nice. That's why the Bible already told you in Romans the 16th chapter that with fair words and fine speeches, they're going to deceive the hearts of the simple. Those fair words and those fine speeches got you liking everything they put on that Facebook. And amen, that goes all over the world, and immediately your face and your title and your handle is equated to the wrong crowd, friend. You go public identify, you got to do it some thumbs down. You're going to get blocked every now and then. Amen, friend. Hey, everybody didn't like John. I believe he was identified publicly by his association. He was standing by Jesus' mama, Jesus' Aunt Mary, Magdalene. I'm talking about he was standing. He was associated, my friend. He was identified with the right crowd. I was preaching early on in our ministry, and a man visited our service, and at the end of the service, he came up to me and he said, Brother Tony, he said, you remind me of one of those old preachers back in the 50s. And I really didn't know how to respond. And in the car, Tracy, what did that man tell you? And I said, well, he told me that I reminded him of a preacher back in the 50s. She said, did I make you mad? And I thought about it a little while. I said, no, I wished you'd have said, I reminded of the preachers back in A.D. 33. If it's ever been right, it's still right. There ain't no three or four ways to do it. It's a Bible way to do it. There's not a 21st century approach. There's a biblical approach. It's not a cultural reproach. It's not a black or white approach. It's a Bible approach. Amen. Amen, friend. It's not a north or south approach. It's a biblical position. And friend, you're going to have to identify with God's people, with the right people. Amen, friend. You have to identify if you're going to stand by the cross and have an impact. He stood with public identity. I say identified. His association identified him. I say this. The attacks identify you. If everybody likes you, something's wrong. There he goes to get another one. Somebody help me. Y'all all right? Hey, the attacks you. If everybody likes you, something's wrong. I'm sure that all the other disciples, they said, where's old John at? He's up there. You know, he's up there. He's Jesus' little pet. You know where John is? He's up there at the cross getting his Bible signed by Jesus. Oh, Peter's warming his hands over there by the fires of the enemy. He made it far as Pilate's hall. And they said, aren't you one of them ultra-conservative, right-wing, militant, Bible, King James only preachers? He said, I voted Republican and all. Help me now. Oh, listen, hey, there's going to be some attack, friend. Everybody ain't going to like it. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. That was liberals. They love that verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace. They love that. He maketh even his enemies. But you got to listen to the verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he's got enemies. When a man's ways please the Lord, he's got enemies. There's something wrong when everybody likes you. Did you know John, the beloved? Hey, John here. He didn't die some kind of a comforting death. He boiled it all on an Isle of Patmos. I'm telling you, he was exiled. He was ostracized and left alone. The brethren didn't defend him. The government didn't defend him. Hey, he had no family to defend him. All by himself. Let me say, the road of a prophet's a lonely road. Everybody ain't going to like it. When you publicly identify, by your association, you publicly identify by your attack, you publicly identify by the awareness. You identify with Christ, he'll be aware. The Bible said when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing, you look at it, we're talking about standing. He didn't see him sitting. It's verse 26 in that authorized King James. When I say that, if somebody don't go, whoa, something's wrong somewhere, I'm leaving. In that authorized King James. Thank you very much. And he saw his mother and the disciples standing by. Praise God. Did you know people are aware of your position? You don't have to announce your position. Your position is perceived. There ain't no sodomite ever has to come in our church and decide. It don't take three Sundays for them to decide we're against rainbow religion. They don't have to come in and look at our platform, see how the staff's dressed, and decide if we're a contemporary church. There ain't no purple lights around the cross. Somebody help me. Amen. By the first note of the music, they already know. They can see, they can sense. By the very first note of the piano, it starts something like this. Dun 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 dun. They say they old timey. I mean, it don't start off. Help me now. It don't take a month of Sundays. It don't take three or four services. It ought not be if you're going to stand by the cross of Christ. It ought not be somebody on the job's got to work with you for you've been born again and passed from death unto life, it ought to be the time they meet you, and Jesus is oozing off your lips, that the sweetness of God and the essence of God is tangible in the presence. Hey, friend, hey, you got to prove. You got to publicly identify. Jesus saw him standing. So did the Roman guards see him standing. So did the liberals see him standing that hated him. I'm sure there would have been a parody account made of John. Somebody help me. A make fun account of John. I'm sure there would have been mockers. Amen. The scoffers would have seen him stand. They can't stand to see a stand. They can't stand to see consistency. When they see those 12 stones and it reminds them where they came from. They want us to change it up. They want us to alter it just a little bit. Hey, they want us to put a little bit of that old self-mutilization and blood on it and condone these ear, nose rings, belly rings, tattoos. Somebody call that Christian. That's about as Christian my hind leg. Somebody say amen. Hey, I'm talking about friend. They want us to identify with them. No. If we're going to stand by the cross, we'll have to publicly identify with Christ. Oh yeah. And there stood by the cross. He publicly identified. Note this. He proved his intentions. Verse 27. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Not after 4 years of Bible college. Not after a new converts class. Not after reading the Peter Ruckman book. Everybody okay? No, from that hour. You know how you prove your intentions? Your immediate submission. Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts 9, that third column said, and straightway he preached. As soon as those scales fell from his eyes and he got a little strength from that meat that he ate, as soon as he's baptized, praise God, believer's baptism, amen. As soon as that happened to him, Bible said, after about 4 years of Bible college and 3 years of seminary, amen, after a little while and some online studies, that he finally started, the Bible says, neighbor, and straightway, immediately, without hesitation, he proved what he wanted to do. You can talk about it all you want to, man. Proverbs talks about that crowd runs their mouth, but no product. Yeah, they run that mouth. In all labor, there's profit. But all that mouth running don't produce much. One day, I've had them from up north. I had one man from Cincinnati. We just went back through there. He's a truck driver. And he came, visited our church. He was from the south. He was saved down in Georgia. And he went up north for a job. He was in his 70s. He was retiring. And he said, I just can't wait till I retire. When I get back down, I'm going to do something for God. Well, y'all, he'd come visit our special services. We're going to retire and move back down the south, but I'm going to get active in the church. Y'all listening? Boy, he could tell it. I mean, I had visions, man. We're going to raise the dead over there when he gets back. I mean, tell it I was a deacon under old Dr. So-and-so, and if I said his name, you'd know him. And I mean, oh, we're going to come back. We're going to turn it. I'm going to put all my efforts. Man, I've been working all day. I'm going to go door to door. So I'm going to do this and do that. Well, it's funny. He did retire. But I saw him walking around that mall. How come old people can walk around a mall, but they can't go soul winning? They can go to the gym, work out. Amen. But they can't knock on a door and can't. Oh yeah, they can go to every grandson's ball game. Sit out there with snow falling on top of their bald heads. Amen. I mean, sit out there and shiver and get wet in the rain and the cold. But they can't sit in the air conditioned building in church. It's just too cold. My arthritis and everything. Hey, friend. Hey, I'm telling you what he did. He proved his intentions immediately. No delay. No hesitation. Immediately. You know how you're going to stand by the cross, start doing something now? Don't wait till the next sermon. Don't wait till tomorrow night. I mean, but sometime between now and this time tomorrow night, tell somebody. Did you get an exemption form, or was you not commanded to go into the highways and hedges to compel them to come in? Have you gotten over being saved yet? Some of y'all look like you're getting over it, friend. Hey, you ought to be telling somebody about the greatest day that ever happened in your life. The day you heard the gospel. The day the Holy Ghost convicted you and drew you. And you confessed your sin, believed, praise God. And was, hey, I mean immediately. From that moment, from that hour, from that day, he began. You prove, you stand by the cross, you'll prove your intention. I say it was not only an immediate proof, but it was an investment that proved it. Said he took her to his house. You know what that meant? I don't think Mary had a pension. I don't think she's on Social Security. Somebody help me. I don't think she's drawing a crazy check. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all own them. Walking around here like zombies. That man, she wasn't on no welfare. She didn't get a hooked cheese. And free McDonald's. I need help and cell phone. Don't bow your head, I'm not ready to pray yet. I'm preaching right now. I'm in the preaching business. I feel like preaching now. A while ago I had butterflies in my stomach. Now they're flying in formation, praise God. Stay with me. I'm saying to you, he invested in her. I believe from that moment on, he started taking care of her. Every meal she ate. Every garment she wore. Mind you, Jesus Christ had put him in charge of taking care of I'm fixing to leave out of here. I'm fixing to give my seventh saying. And when I do, I'm fixing to go. But you take care of mama till I see her again. Can I tell you something? He didn't get that by accident. He proved his intention because he had made investments before. He showed some interest. So some of you wonder why God's not using you in this hour. You don't show much interest in the things of God. If you can fit church in. I mean, it's COVID and everything. Oh, God, help us. I had a dream the other night. This is no joke. I mean, I had a dream. I was at the judgment seat. And I don't know if it's going to be like this, but I mean, I was fourth one out from getting judged at the Bema. I mean, I'm sitting over and I'm hearing him bawl out these other people. Everybody thinks it's going to be. Everybody wonders, why do you think when we get to heaven, you're just going to run, jump up in Jesus' lap? We're going to have all this good time. We got to go by the judgment seat first. Everybody ain't going to be popping gum, telling Pollock jokes up there in that line. You guys look God eyeball to eyeball. You're going to say, what did you do with the opportunities I gave you? Man, he was reaming these dudes out. And I thought, God, I don't stand a chance. Curtis Hudson was my daddy. I was raised in the South, pray, by the grace of God. Amen. You didn't like that? I'll say it again, by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I thought, man, I'm standing there, and the weight of the opportunities that had been given me. And it was all in this COVID stuff, and I was thinking, oh, what am I going to tell him, you know? Well, the mayor said we couldn't meet inside. You know, the mayor said. I'm thinking, he says, yeah, the Almighty God said not forsaking the assembly. What about the mayor? What you going to say? What's going to be our excuses? Because there surely ain't no reasons. God help us in this day. I believe when he looked at him, he said, I want you to take care of mama. I'm telling you, he proved his intentions. He had an interest in the things of God. From the time he was saved until the time that he died on the Isle of Patmos, old John's heartbeat was about the things of God. Even in that one low ebb of his life in chapter 21 where he's backslidden. And he's over there on the boat with Peter. And he looks over there on the sea, show off the sea, and he sees Jesus over there. Hey, Peter said, man, who in the world is that? Children, have you any meat? The response of John the Beloved was, it is the Lord. Let me say something. If you ever known him in a personal relationship, you'll always know him when he shows up in your life. Standing. And they're stood by the cross. It'll take a public identification. It'll take that we prove our intention. Jot this down. I believe when we stand by the cross in this hour, we'll progressively increase. I mean, here's John. I don't know how long Mary lived, and you don't either. Josephus don't know. I've checked on it. The Pope don't know. Amen. But somewhere down the line, his obligations varied. Well, you start out as a youth director. I mean, you always want to be a youth director. Nothing wrong being a youth director. Nothing wrong if you're a youth director when you're 100 years old. That's where God wants you. But sometimes your opportunities will vary. And when you, some of us are so, we don't want to change. I mean, I don't want to change from truth. But I'm talking about in this hour, maybe God has the next step for you in your life. And you're so comfortable where you are, you become acclimated to your certain call, your certain. And then all of a sudden now, they bury Mary. Now what's John going to do? Well, he's got some business to do. He's going to have to write the book of Revelation. I mean, you know, only the book. So help me now. We're just talking about the book of Revelation and everything. Nothing big, but just the book of the Revelation. Amen. You know, the last book of the Bible. The one that's blessed that readeth. Amen. The ones that's cursed that they add to or take from it. Somebody help me. I mean, just the book of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he didn't have much to do but get caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day and be talking to God and looking into the future and writing what's going to happen. Hey, friend. Hey, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And I saw a door open in heaven. And the voice was the sound of a trumpet talking to me, saying, come up hither. He saw the rapture of the church, praise God. Nothing big, but he got to see it all. You know why? Because he stood by the cross. He stood by the cross. And he progressively increased the volume of his ministry. The volume of his ministry. I never knew when I yielded my life to preach what all that would be involved. But the volume of the ministry, there's a whole lot that needs to be done. Yes, amen. We've become such specialists. Our mentality are specialists. Bible said, he wrote Timothy, make foolproof thy ministry. Foolproof, well-rounded, all spokes in place. No spokes missing, foolproof, balanced. If I could just pick my kind of people to reach, all of them would have a four-wheel drive truck with a dog box on the back. And a crimped over co-op hat, needs an oil change, the hat I'm talking about. Somebody help me. They'd say, everybody in our up iron, over iron, ewins. That's my vocabulary. That's my vernacular, man. That's my vocabulary. I'm real comfortable with that. But see, I was commanded to go into all the world preaching gospel to every creature. And when you stand by the cross, God will equip you to do that. I pastor in a college town. Middle Tennessee State University, it's the largest university in the state of Tennessee. 28,000 students last year enrolled. 28,000 students. That's big as most, a lot of towns. We'll knock on doors. I'm Tony Hudson. This is Brother Andrew with Middle Tennessee Baptist Church. We'll invite you. Oh, I'm Professor so-and-so from the college. Oh, okay. I'm sure you already have a church. I don't get to pick and choose who we go to. But as we serve the Lord, the opportunities increase. I'll never forget one Sunday morning, Dr. Sidney McPhee, he's the president still, been there for about 25 years, 30, of that university. His wife taught my daughters in school, Dr. McPhee. She was a second grade teacher with a doctor's degree. They're black folk. He's from Jamaica originally, his heritage. And they visited our church. She came walking in with a hat on her head. I'm talking about she dressed fit to be killed. And she come in there and walked down one aisle and she sat down right in front of one of my shouting Baptist women. And I was going, oh God, not there. Let her sit somewhere else. Not in front of her. A shouting Baptist woman. I said, oh God, this is going to, I don't know about this. And then I started praying, Lord, let the music be dead. Give us some Bob Jones type. Or, Lord, let them play a Pensacola type song. Please, God, make it dead. Make it dead. Lord, she ain't going to be able to handle this. And the choir got up. I was a nervous wreck. I said, man, that's Dr. McPhee. They're visiting our church. Choir got to singing, there's a name above all others, wonderful to hear. And all in parts started falling in, bringing hope and cheer. 'Tis the lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What? About time, I just forgot they were in there. And before I knew it, I had my hands up. And about that time, I looked right at that hat, and right above that hat was some fingertips sticking up behind it. And one of them missionary Baptist women said, "Woo!" Sound like a locomotive sounding at a crossing. Somebody say amen. Woo, 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 woo. And man, about 8 or 10 fell in there with them. We got to praising God for about 15, 20 minutes. I was 3 sheets in the wind, drunk in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know where I was. At the end of that service, I was going to preach a love message. One of them, love, love. I wound up preaching on Luke 16. The rich man died. And in hell, he lifted up. We're in torments. Man, I preached. When we got through, I was shaking hands. And man, I thought, oh man, I forgot they were even in the building. And here came Dr. McPhee, and he extended his hand. He said, Reverend, said, we sure did enjoy the service. I said, oh. And I looked up at Miss McPhee, and that old makeup had been run where him tears looked like a plowed field. That old black mascara running down her cheeks. She said, Brother Tony, said, you just don't know how bad we needed that this morning. Do you know everybody needs it? Nobody's exempt. We stand by the cross and we'll progressively increase. I say that the volume of his labor, I say the varied labor, but then I say the value of our labor increases. The closer we get to the end, the value of our position. I'm telling you, the interest is rising. Old-time religion. Where are they going to find it? Where is this lost and dying world going to find help? Where are homes going to get help with these weak, effeminate preachers that can't even rule their own house? How are they going to rule a congregation? Little old potato string, backbone, rose water squirting, lily livered. Amen, bunch of rainbow sock wearing. Somebody help me. I need help. Hey, where are they going to find help? You think they're going to find you? You honestly think, oh, one of these TBN preachers is going to fill the bill? No, the value of what we have. Where are they going to find? Where's homes going to find help? Where's marriages going to find help? Where's our nation going to find help? I mean, you think Paula White, God help, I voted for Trump and have no apologies for it. If you don't like it, tell me. I'll tell you how stupid you were. Amen. Is everybody, you don't have to agree. You can be wrong if you want to. Amen. But old Paula White, he embraced her. I said, my God help, she can't help his nation. Woman preacher. Ain't no such thing as a woman preacher. God ain't ever called a woman to preach and he never will. If any man desire the office, he desireth the good work. Let him be the husband of. How many masculine pronouns do you need for that? Husband of one wife. Hey, Paula White can't be the husband of one wife. What's that woman with that little butched off hair up here somewhere? You know, she's on TV all the time. Yeah. Don't you know I know that, sir? Hey. Here it is. Oh, my God. Got him. Joyce Myers. If she's called to preach, I'm a Cherokee Indian. Somebody help me. Such a way. Y'all listening? Man, you can't put a price tag on standing. Our Heavenly Father, I pray in this hour.